O God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. I guess it's my age, but I seem to find that most of my social media feeds frequently feature announcements of babies to come. I guess it's the mixture of my age and the prevalence of living far from friends and keeping in touch via social media. But I believe these announcements have become more involved than ever. Thanks to this being our way of keeping in touch, what is most often shared is an increasingly creative pregnancy announcement and then pictures of progress on decorating a nursery, preparing a place for a child to come. And as I prepared for our sermon this morning, I came to realize that maybe it's not so much different than it was long ago. Because in this time of year, we also turn our attention to two of the most incredible announcements of pregnancies. And we focus in this season on preparing a place for new life here among us. There were many things special about these pregnancies, but what they shared was that they were both biologically impossible, but for different reasons. First, we read of an angel announcing to Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth, who was barren and is now far beyond childbearing years, will become pregnant. Then Gabriel announces to Mary that she, a virgin, will also expect a child. On the surface, their reactions seem similar. They're both shocked. Zechariah asks, "How can I be sure of this?" And Mary asks, "How can this be?" But something is distinctly different in their reactions. Zechariah asks for a way to be certain, and he's given a sign by being unable to speak until his son is born. Mary, on the other hand, accepts the news as a blessing and is still held up as an icon of faith for her response. Perhaps we can understand the difference when we look at these two people. Zechariah has lived a full life. He's secure in his standing as a priest and has even made it to the climax of his career by entering into the holy place to offer the sacrifice. He's accustomed to his station in life and his identity is pretty fully formed. Mary, on the other hand, is an adolescent. Physically, she is now a woman, for we know she's been betrothed. Yet she's not quite entered her role in society as a woman. Zechariah's fully formed identity creates obstacles to accepting such a radical idea. Mary's lack of life experience concerns her, but she seems more open to this crazy plan. Zechariah is affected by what already has been. Mary is perplexed by the future. More and more, though, I find it understandable that Zechariah did not quite believe the angel. After a lifetime of hopes being raised and lost for a longed-for child, he'd finally come to peace with his life. Maybe he couldn't bear to have his hopes raised again. And now, after he and his wife were too old, even if they'd been able to have children during their childbearing years, now that time was behind them. But because of his reaction, Zechariah is made unable to speak. In other words, he gets 9 months to listen, to learn. And maybe that teaches us something about Advent. We usually focus so much on Mary, but I think we have a lot to learn from Zechariah too, especially today. As our passages focus on today, Advent is about preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord. John the Baptist, the son born to Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth in this miracle pregnancy, he was the messenger sent to call people to the preparation for the coming of Jesus. We read about him all through Advent, hearing his message to us to prepare the way of the Lord. During each Sunday of Advent, our traditional readings include texts from the prophets, including John, describing the coming reign of God. They dream of what the world will be like when it is all as God desires it to be. So Advent for us becomes a time to develop our sight, to hone our vision, to see what is not yet here around us. A kingdom that we believe is already in existence through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, but that this kingdom has not yet arrived in full. We believe Christ has come, but we also believe he's still coming. Living in Advent means knowing that God is working in us and among us, yet knowing that there is still much in our world which needs the healing and transformation of God, and living in the presence of God and the expectation of that full restoration of the whole world. We cannot listen to the visions of the coming rain and peer into the broken nature of our world, though, without digging into parts of our own lives, which are dark and painful and hurting. And that's what can make living in Advent incredibly difficult. Part of waiting and expectation of Advent, part of honing our vision of the world to come, includes being aware of what in our world and what in us still longs for this full coming of Christ. But sometimes seeing what is not yet here can feel like seeing what is empty. Discovering where we need new life can feel like encountering what is just plain dead. And digging into the parts of our lives that need the coming light leaves us, well, in the dark. And maybe you are living through a particularly difficult season of Advent. All this talk of waiting and expecting, knowing what is broken and missing in our world, can become unbearable. In times like this, I want to scream, I get it. I don't need to look far for brokenness. I don't need to know how our world is not as it's supposed to be, because that hole is in me. Maybe I just lost what I loved. A relationship that made me who I am is broken and all seems lost. I've let down so many I love and I will only ever disappoint. My trust is gone because I've been betrayed and I don't know how I'll recover. Broken world waiting to be filled. We get it. Because we have broken souls, and sometimes it feels as though they can't be filled. And Advent as a season of expectation will end in a couple of weeks, while the emptiness in our soul can seem impossible to fill. So sometimes this season of expectation can seem ridiculous, and hope impossible. But I believe that it's only in that place, when we really begin to live into Advent, it's the only way that we truly prepare for God to be born among us. Because the story of Advent is that God is coming. And God is coming not just to the place that we least expect, but that God is coming to the place we believe is impossible. During this season, we celebrate two crazy pregnancies. Elizabeth bears a child long after she is able, a child to prepare the way for God. And then we celebrate that God grows and is born as a baby in the womb of a peasant who's a virgin. All theological debates aside, I think it's a big screaming sign for us that for all of our expecting and planning, God always comes in the place where we believe it will be impossible. Today's gospel proclaims the message brought by the son of Zechariah, this John, who has grown up and is now living into his call as an adult. Even the introduction to this passage continues to show us that God comes where no one quite expects. Luke tells us of all the rulers, from Rome, the center of the known world at the time, down to the tiny territory of Israel, to the leaders in the temple of this small religion. But then he says that God, the word of God, comes to not any of them, but to John. This son born in old age to Zechariah, out in the wilderness of Israel. Certainly not where you would expect a great announcement from God. John calls people to prepare the way for the Lord, then for the ministry of Jesus. But his message still rings true today as we prepare the way for God to come again in our world. And this can only happen in the place that we open for God. The place that we give up finding a new way to fill, to fix. All around us, it's pretty easy to see that our world is broken. We like to jump on each thing and are certain we always know what needs to happen to fix it. If only we did this, things would be better. We're certain of the story, certain of what we have seen and what will be. And the truth is, sometimes we don't want new life. A death, a diagnosis, a disappointment. So many things can leave us with a new life that we didn't ask for. So we hang tightly to what's left of the old. And as long as we hang on to the old, to what we have, to who we thought we and others were, we're only hanging on to old life. And as long as we hang on to that, we leave no space for God to be born among us. Perhaps sometimes we, like Zechariah, need to stop speaking and to listen. And that's what we're called to do during the season of Advent. We're called to let go of knowing the story, of being confident of what we know to be true, of knowing all the answers. We're called to actually see the darkness, to know ourselves and our world as empty and longing for God to be among us. And we're called to listen, because this is how hope is born among us. For Zechariah and for Mary, like any expectant parents, they didn't know exactly what to expect. And that too is always part of preparing the way, of letting go of what we believe we know so certainly, being willing to trust in God to work a new way, to bring something we never could have imagined to life in our world. And today we get a glimpse of that new life in Zechariah. After 9 months, when he is finally able to speak, he sings out in the canticle we read together today, belting out a song of praise to God after 9 months of silence, a song that has gone on to be sung in daily prayer for Christians throughout generations. So today, may we, like Zechariah, enter into a time of holy silence, of listening to all that goes on around us, to the sounds we don't usually have time to hear. May we, like Zechariah, open up a place for God to be born in a new way among us this Advent. And may we know that, like Zechariah, we will see the promise, and then we will also be able to say, in the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in the darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen.